Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're holding two lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara continues on. Rabbi Akiva, Ola B'Shalom, V'Yara B'Shalom. We're now coming to the tail end of that very, very unique sugya that everybody is aware of about the Arba'a Shenichlesu Lepardis, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Yesterday we spoke at length about Acher, that unfortunately, Kitzeitz Ben Atiyos, what they call in modern day lingo, OTD, off the derech, and that is a terrible thing. But Rabbi Akiva Baruch Hashem, Nicholas B'Shalom, B'Yatzah B'Shalom, Ola B'Shalom, everything went well.
B'Shalom and not L'Shalom hit in the morning.
I knew you were going to ask that question.
I'm glad you knew it.
He asked the same question.
It's an introduction.
Yes, I'm not surprised either.
Yeah.
When you're greeting somebody, you're supposed to call and tell him, go lishalom. But now when the Gemara is telling us, he said that Akiva went up to Shemayim, and Baruch Hashem, he returned, and he came back bishlamus. So we're not talking about that when he went bon voyage. All 100 people that were there to see him off at the airport when he went up in the satellite up to Shemayim, they all said, oh, alei lishalom, 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 lishalom. When he came back, Baruch Hashem, people said, oh, he went up with his shleimus, he came back with his shleimus, and Baruch Hashem, nothing was missing, everything was great. He was not Kitzitz Ben Atiyos, he didn't go crazy, he didn't pass away. Baruch Hashem, everything went well for him.
I'm glad I didn't disappoint you.
Oh, not at all. Now, how did he go in the first place? So we had both Rashi and Tosfos said that they went up by reciting a Shem. Doesn't say exactly which Shem they recited, but some sort of Shem that they said, and they came back again.
Was it like they sat together, or each one on their own went up, and like, did they meet up there?
They were originally supposed to go together on one flight, but then one of the flights was canceled, and they had to go on different flights. Doesn't say. But Rashi says, Nichlesu Lepardis, this is Rashi of yesterday, Olu Lerekia Al Yedei Shem, by saying some sort of Shem. Tosfos says the same thing. You go in Ayin Hashem. But Tosfos says they didn't go Lamala Mamish. They didn't really go up, but they were in some sort of trance, in some sort of cholim. They felt as if they were up at this high esoteric madrigal. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Akiva came back B'Shalom. So the Gemara says about that, the only because of Oymer about Rabbi Akiva, it can be said, Moshcheini Acharecha Nerutza. Moshcheini, Kodesh Baruch Hu draws us close to him, Acharecha Nerutza, and we run after him. So to Rabbi Akiva, he was drawn close by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he drew Hashem close to him, and he ran after Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hashem, he came back B'Shalom. The Gemara says, the Malachim that saw Rabbi Akiva coming and visiting, they were not happy, and they wanted to go and push him away. Why did they want to push him away? Saying in Mepharshim, because Rashi and Tosfos said that he went up Al Yedei Shem, by saying one of Hashem's name, and they felt that that was a misuse or an abuse of Hashem's name, to come and Drezach, to go on a tour up above in Shemayim, in this paradise. Leave go of this zakim, meaning of Rabbi Akiva. He is ra'oi to mishtamish v'chvoidi, in other words, to use my Shem to come and visit, because in his head is great madre. Now, the other three, unfortunately, all of them heitzitzu. Heitzitzu means that they looked and they glanced at the mokim hashchina, and as a result, unfortunately, they all fell away. This one passed away, and this one keeps him in the tears, and this one never won Fadrait. However, he, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Akiva, was able to go up and to look and to come back, and everything is fine. Frank Timara, my Dorash. My Dorash is the top Rashi. Mehechan Haven, Mokam Hashchina, Shenizar, Shalei Heitzitcha. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, the reason why he came down B'Shleimus as opposed to the other three is because the other three looked and glanced and focused where they should not have. They figured out where the Mokam Hashchina was and they looked at it. You can't go look at the Shechina. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that was, of course, in last week's seder, remind it. So, they had no right to look. Rabbi Akiva, however, understood where the Mokam Hashchina was, and he specifically did not look in that direction. How did he know? The Gemara brings four separate limudim, all basically the same. It says the pasuk, the asa meriv vayis kodesh. Rebava means the tens of thousands, and here we're talking about there were tens of thousands of malachim, and Kavi Yochel, Rebava Shalom, is in the middle of all those malachim, they're all his mishamshim, and he was able to identify the ois, that particular place where the Shechinah was, and he avoided it, he didn't look in that direction, he closed his eyes, etc. Rebava says a similar pshat, says in the passage, Dogul me Rebava, Dugmahu Rebava Shalai. Rebava again means the tens of thousands of malachim. The word dugma is used in a number of other gemaras when you have, for instance, someone, if you're getting your house repainted, so you have the painter comes to you with a whole book of, you know,
swatches
of different colors. And the same thing applies if you want to get a custom-made suit or outfit or dress or whatever. You also get little pieces of fabric. Yeah. Those are samples. And so therefore,
Swatches.
Samples. You have watches which are called swatches. Anyway, the point is, that's the term dugma. And when you look at the dugma, then you hopefully realize that this is different than all the others. This is a light brown and the other is a darker brown. This is a better fabric. This is a shvacha fabric. Whatever. So here too, Rebbe Akiva was able to identify which sample is which, and which one is Kaviyachol, the Rabbeinu Shalom, a Dover HaNikr, look at the Rashi, the second line, Dugma, Dover Varheker, who oimed the Dugma, something that is noticeable, that discernible, recognizable, that it's special, the Haroi Soy, to go and show it, Loime Kazeh HaSeili, I want you to make a suit out of this fabric, I want you to go and paint with light beige. The Einzel, the Dover HaNikr, even though this is only a swatch, it's only a sample. Avkan v'kaymenikah here too, he was able to go and identify exactly where Kadosh Baruch Hu was, Kaviyachol, and avoid looking in that direction.
So what was he looking at in essence?
He was looking at the scenery, he came back with a full tour like Mendy, he said exactly he was in Alexandria where the library was, and he saw the various things, but he didn't look at the Shechin itself, he looked at everything else. By the way, all of this is very esoteric and Kabbalistic. We are learning it on an extremely superficial level. The depth and the substance is things for great, great minds and great kedoshim and tzaddikim. All we can do is just kind of go through the taich. The taich means the simple definitions. Real, what do you see in the paradis and what is this? Is much beyond our understanding and our imagination, similar to the Ma'is Merkav. Rish Lakish Amar, Hashem Tzvakish Shemai. The word Adoshem is for the word Odoin. Odoin means the master. Odoin hu mitzvah shalai. The word Tzvokos, of course, in this connection, is one of the names of Hashem, one of the kinuyim. However, the word Tzvokos comes from the word Tzava, Litzvay Tzava, Yoytze La Tzava. Tzava today means an army, a Tzava.
Tzava Agonali Yisrael.
Exactly. Here it doesn't mean necessarily Tzahal, but it means the legions and the garrisons of troops, referring to the Malachim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is the other, the master, among all of these tens of thousands of malachim that are surrounding him, and he was able to tell which one is the malach, which one is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, and he looked in the other direction. So this is a pasuk in Malachim, a pasuk of Yoah Navi is saying the nevuah, that we want to go and see the countenance of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we're all mistaken when we think Hashem is about to arrive on the scene. In other words, you hear that there's another Gemara, I think we learned it in Tanis, where I think it was either of Yosef or of Sheshes, who was a Sagi Nohar, who was blind. He was standing there together with one of Sedoikim or Baisusim, and the other one is kind of mocking Rav Yosef and telling him, the king is about to arrive, and everybody's standing online in the parade to go and see, or the royalty and all the rest. So Rav Yosef, what are you doing over here? You can't see anyway. You're blind. What are you wasting your time? Rav Yosef says, you'll see. So they stood there, and as this trumpet started blowing, and there's a lot of noise, so then the fellow says to Rabbi Yosef, oh, the king's about to arrive in the scene. Rabbi Yosef says, oh, no, you're wrong. Okay, the first caravan goes through, and in fact it was not the king. And now the second one comes, and they're shooting, they're blowing the horns, and there's a 19-gun salute, and a gun salute, oh, the king has arrived. So Rabbi Yosef, he's not here. And this happened four times, until finally Rabbi Yosef says, now the king is coming. How do you know? So he brought this pasuk that we're quoting now. Lo yibruach Hashem, v'yachar haruach rash. First there came these large winds, heavy winds, and people thought, oh, Hashem is about to arrive on the scene. No, Hashem is not here. But right after that was the Rash. The Rash means the large noise and commotion. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be coming. Loi Barash Hashem. Hashem is not coming, not yet. The Acharash was the Esh. Oh, that big fire. Now Hashem is Baruch Hu really must be here. No. Loi Barash Hashem. Hashem wasn't there either. The Acharash was called the Mamadaka. Oh, now things are silent. Now things are quiet. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming on the scene and passing by. All of this, of course, is very esoteric. But the point over here is still that the Akiva was aware of this pasuk. So where the others got distracted and looked in the wrong directions, etc., the Akiva knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where, when, what. So he knew what to avoid and not to look. With this, we've concluded the Masmet of Akiva, and with the Avosh Nichlasu Lepardis, we go off a little bit on a tangent now, because yesterday we quoted in the Gemara that Acher said about himself, Rabbi Meir encouraged Acher to return back to the fold, and Acher responded and he said, "Shemati me'achiri ha'pargoid shuvu banim shivavim chutz me'acher." I heard after the pargoid. What exactly is a pargoid? Literally, a pargoid means a partition, and therefore I heard from the back of the partition, "Shuvu banim shivavim chutz me'acher." This, of course, once again is very esoteric, and it's referring to some sort of heavenly partition upstairs in Shemayim, and he listened very carefully and he heard voices emanating from the other side of the partition, so on and so forth. So since we use that expression, the Gemara now brings something which also talks about Me'achori HaParga. It's talking about Rinda the Brisa. Shishidabar Nemru B'Shedim. Six things are said about the Shindalas, about the evil demons. Shloish Shemarach Yasharis. Three of them, they have similarities to Malachim. And three of them is Kibnei Odom, like regular individuals. What are these six? Shloishim Malach Yeshar is the three that they like Malachim, Yeshlam, Kinefayim, Kimalach Yeshar. They have wings. They use the wings. These are not just costumes. They actually use the wings to fly from place to place. Kimalach Yeshar. And they know what's going to happen, like the Malach Yeshar. They know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the future except for Kavi Yochel and Rabbi Mishloim. Even Malachim don't know. What he means to say is, they know so much what's going on down below, it's as if they know the future already, because they get the immediate reports. If there's an invasion in Ukraine, they don't hear about it 3 days later, they know about it on the first instance. So he's saying in that respect, the Shindalids are just like the Malachim, that they know instantly because they hear Me'achori HaParged what's going on. So that's the reason why we brought this Gemara, because of Acher and the Me'achori HaParged. Good. So that's, those are the three things, meaning that one, that they have wings, number two, that they fly back and forth, and number three, that they know what's going on, Me'achori HaParged. Ushloishkim Ne'odim, the three things that they are similar to Ne'odim. Oichum Shoshkim Ne'odim, the evil demons, they eat and drink like we do. Parim Varam Ne'odim, they live together and they bring up new doiris just like people. Umeisim Ne'odim, and they, Ishin Dalit, can pass away. Shishidabon Nem Ne'odim. Now the six things that are said about mankind, about people. Shloishkim Malach Yesharis, again, we are in three ways similar to Malachim. Shloishkim Behemah, three ways we're similar to Behemah. Shloishkim Malach Yesharis, Yeshlam Das Malach Yesharis. The people have Seichel, as opposed to a Behemah doesn't have Seichel. Umakhalchim Mekoy Miskufa. We stand up upright, as opposed to bending down on all fours like animals. Malach Yesharis. Umesabrim Malachim Mekoyishkim Malach Yesharis. And we speak. Now, of course, the Lashon HaGemara is that we speak in Hebrew Malach Yesharis, which is, strictly speaking, not exactly accurate, because there are quite a few people that don't know how to speak Hebrew. What it really means to say is that we're Mesaprim. We have languages, and we can talk like the Malachim who talk in Hebrew. But not that we necessarily speak Lashon HaKodesh outside of Yidden, and a few Goyim, very, very few people know any Lashon HaKodesh. He means to say is that we all have our languages, whether it's English or French or German or Yiddish or Hungarian or whatever it happens to be. And we have that lingo similar to Malachim. And the Gemara assumes, therefore, the Behemoths do not have any language that they can communicate. Maybe they can go and say moo and boo, but that's about as far as it goes. So that's the three that were similar to Malachim. We eat and drink like behemoths. We procreate, we have children like behemoths. That we have to relieve ourselves in lavatories, even though the behemoths don't usually relieve themselves in lavatories, but you get the idea that they have to defecate and we have to do the same. Okay, so we got off on a tangent with the Chori HaParagon, and now we go back to our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kol Mestakel B'dal Dvorim. Rossi Loi Shalom Bali Oilam. Rossi is Be'erach, the same types of like Ro'i Loi, that this person, it would have been worthwhile that this person should never have been created if he goes and he's Mestakel. He focuses on four subjects, which our Mishnah says really are forbidden subjects to get involved in. Why are they forbidden? Because of the fact that if a person gets too involved and too immersed in those subjects, he can come and become a kofer, an apikoros. So therefore, there are four subjects stay away from. Now, what were those four? It says the Mishnah, malamala, malamata, malefnim, and mali ochor. Now, this itself is a machloik, is exactly what it means, malamala, malamata, malefnim, mali ochor. But basically, what it's referring to is what's going up there in Shemayim, what happened before Briyas Olam, what happens eventually, what will happen after this world ends as we know it, before we start Olam Haba, what things are going up. Lamala means Lamala Mechayis HaKoydish, higher than the seventh heaven where the Chayis HaKoydish are. Malamata, what's below the heavens. In other words, all these things are very, very deep, Kabbalistic and esoteric subjects that we should try to avoid, because Chas v'Shalom, a person might go off the deck. He said, those three subjects I can appreciate, I can understand. Elefnim, madahavahava. The Gemara is teaching the word lefnim to mean what happened before Briyas Olam. So before Bereishis Bara Kim, those 974 generations, for instance, that we spoke about a couple of days ago, that should have been created, but Hashem Yisbarak didn't create them because there were a bunch of Rishoyim. All the things that happened pre Briyas Olam. What's the problem? Well, why can't we go and think about it and talk about it? It's, you know, history. Masha Hoya Hoya, for whatever happened. What's the difference it make? So Rabbi Yochanan of Lodz Damei Tavayin. Rabbi Yochanan of Lodz that said together, Moshe Melech Moshe Damei Shomel Avodah. The new leaf paltering Gedolim Ala Ashva. So they give an interesting marshal. The king wanted to build a brand new palace, a brand new castle. And he says to his avodim, over here in this place, I want you to go and build a beautiful golden palace. Where was that place? It was an ashba there. In other words, it's presumably center of the city where there's a huge dumping place, a huge place for trash and garbage. He says, we're going to go and clean this whole place up, and then we're going to build a huge, lovely palace in that spot. They did that. They removed all the garbage and made a beautiful palace. And now they're going to have a picture book before and after. Before, this is what the place looked before, and now you have a palace over here. The melech, it's embarrassing that people say, I remember 2 years ago, he said, he's built a palace. 2 years ago, they had over here the mice and the rats and the schmutz and the gestinken, and there was a stench over here that you could smell for miles. King doesn't want people to talk about that. So the Havdal Alfi Abdullah is the same thing. Before the world was created, the whole world was, in a sense, like a large ashba, like a garbage dump. I don't know what type of garbage there was, but whatever it was, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to talk about what happened before Brisad. Back to the Mishnah. It says, Koshali Chos Al Kovid Kainai, a person who's not careful about the covet of his creator, means of Hashem Yisbarach. Again, Rois Eloi Shloi Bola Oilam, who had been better, they shouldn't have been created. Pray tomorrow. This is a very, very vague term. Koshali Chos Al Kovid Kainai. What does that mean? Mayi. See, more since the Machlokes. The Baba Omer Zeh Mestakel B'Keshes is a person who focuses on a keshes on a rainbow. If you also Omer Zeh Iva Aveira B'Seiser, a person who does an Aveira B'Seiser, thinking, oh, nobody sees me. What do you mean nobody sees? Kodesh Baruch Hu sees you everywhere. Therefore, that's considered to be he's not Chos Al Kovid Kainan. And the more now explains. Mestakel B'Keshes, Taksivus in the Pesukim Ma'ay Keshes Hashiyah V'Onin V'Yoyin HaGeshem Kein Mari Hanoiga Soviv Hu. Mare Dmus Kvod Hashem. What it's saying is that in a sense, the keshes, the rainbow, represents itself, the Shekhinah. That's the Mare, it's as if you're seeing the image of the Kvod Hashem. In which respect? I have no idea. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has no image. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no form. Whatever we read in the Torah about Yod HaChazaka, Zroi Netuya, Rashi always says, Kedei Lesaber Esa Oizen, and therefore the Torah Koloshin B'nei Adam. It's exactly what this means, that we're saying, that the rainbow looks like the Nus Hashem. This is a bit of a difficult concept, but that's what the Gemara says. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to look at a rainbow at all. In fact, if a person sees a rainbow, he's supposed to make a bracha. Exactly. And kind of said, Rabbi said, okay, fine. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is, don't spend too much time focusing on every angle and every one of the different colors of the rainbow. Yes, you look at it, you can take a glance, you can even say, hey, Chaim, see it well. But don't be mistaka. Mistaka means to go and focus and look at it, and not just a casual glance, but you, in fact, you look at it with great intent. That you should not do, because the kesha symbolizes a marik vadashem. If you also have amazel iva aveir b'seisim, kira vitzik yom revitzik iva aveir b'seisim kira dreichik grag v'shchinim. Person who does an aveira in hiding, figuring, oh, nobody sees anyway, or baruch Hashem. It's as if he's kicking kaviyachal kodesh baruch Hu's feet. Shenem koyim Hashem Hashemayim kisi va'oretz hadoyim ragoy. Kodesh baruch Hu says that the shemayim is like a kisei. Excuse me, like a throne, and the world down below is a dim ragloi, like a step stool. And so therefore, kaviyachal, it's if the Rebbeinu Shalom has legs, which are hanging and are sitting on or lying on a step stool down below. So if you go and ignore the Kodesh Baruch Hu's there, and nobody sees, it's as if you're giving a kick to Hashem's legs and kicking away, if you will, the step stool. Hashem, I don't even recognize that you're here. Pray to more Aini. This doesn't seem to be correct. I am Rebbeinu. What happens if a person has a tremendous yetzer and he's not able to go and be misgaber on that yetzer? He tries, but unfortunately he's not able to be kovesh his yetzer. What should he do? He should go to a place that nobody knows him. He should go and wear black and cover himself with black. In other words, like today, wear masks over your nose, over your toes.
Didn't they mention this scenario earlier?
Yes, indeed. And that's why the Gemara does repeat itself from time to time. This Gemara was in Moed Katan on Daf Yud Zayin. How do I know? Not because I recall, but if you look on the right hand margin, you'll see it says in the right hand margin, Moed Katan Yud Zayin. It's also Kedushin Daf Mem. This Gemara is brought a couple of places, as well as here. So what does it say about that? That if a person says his Yetzirah is being miskaber olav, he should go to a place in Machirno, he said, where they don't know him. He should go and put on black clothing. In other words, he should put on basically a masquerade, a costume that nobody should be able to notice him. He should do whatever his heart wants. He shouldn't make a chil Hashem. What's the point? L'choyre, what he's saying is that a person who has a big Yetzirah, he should now go and do a chait b'seiser. We just said now, what's going on? This seems to be superficially a real big stira. If this is the type of aveira that the person can be koifis yitzray, in other words, that he can go and be miskaber, it's not that difficult. Yes, the person says, I would love to eat a cheeseburger, but today you can get kosher cheeseburgers because this is part of a cheese or whatever. So, okay, so I won't eat the cheeseburger. If he can be koyf of Yitzray, and he says, but I still love cheeseburgers. It smells so good, and bacon smells so good. I'd love to eat it. Yet people are going to see. No problem. I'm going to go and buy it from the underground, and we're going to order it online. Nobody will notice what's then. And I'm going to eat in the basement. Nobody will see. But there's a Rebbeinu Shalom up there. Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't really care. He's Moichel anyway. Kadosh Baruch is a nice guy. No. That's Kedoshi Ragli Hashem. However, a person that has a tremendous taiva for, taivas noshim or whatever, and he just can't break that taiva, so then, what the Gemara gives you an eitzah, you're going to make a tremendous chil Hashem if you're going to go and, I'm too weak. So go to somewhere like a Kishkan Halash, Hoidin Amish, and you never heard of the place, nobody ever heard of you, go and masquerade yourself and do what you got to do, and at least it won't make a chilul Hashem. That's how Rashi. Yes, sir.
So this is the whole issue of Maris Ayin. And people will see you and you'll be like their mother.
Maris Ayin is a parallel concept, but it's really not the same concept. Maris Ayin is a situation where people will see this very, very religious, pious Jew doing X, Y, and Z, and therefore they will assume that this is permissible, without realizing that what he's doing is Bederech Heter. For instance, let's talk about cheeseburgers. You go and see on a flight, the person takes out from his suitcase this wonderful cheeseburger, you see the cheese and you see the burger, and he's eating it, and you say, if Rabbi Smith can eat it, and I know that he's a very, very holy man, so must be Mamutter, must be okay. You don't realize that this cheeseburger, in fact, comes with the hechsher of three different rabbinical organizations. Even Rabbi Cohen, Zichron Avracha, would have been satisfied that it was kosher, because he didn't eat it together with the Tropicana orange juice. But the point is, up in Shemayim, he's probably learning in the Besmedi Shemal, learning these Gemaras, just like we are learning today. Anyway, but the point is that the person did something totally, totally mutter, but the Maris Ayin is that people will
misapprehend,
misunderstand, miscomprehend what's going on, and they'll think that this is treif, and that it's Vasa B'cholav, without realizing that the cheese was only artificial cheese. The meat was one of these now machine-made meats, so it wasn't meat, it was the whole thing was powered to start off. So that's the concept of Maris Ayin. Then there's a concept of Chil Hashem, when a person who looks like he's a righteous, pious Jew, and then he sins in a very terrible fashion that people find out about it. And they say, Rabbi Smith, I can't believe it. Really? Wow, that's terrible. How can he do that? So that becomes a tremendous Chil Hashem. So not that people will learn from that to mimic or to copy or to think that it's mutter, but rather people see that Hashem's name has become watered down and diluted, because they say this religious Jew can do this, that means the whole religion is worthless, and etc. So that's the parallel concept. Yes, Harry.
So I still don't understand how we reconcile this contradiction, because if you go to a faraway place and do it in secrecy, you're still doing, meaning that it seems that one could perhaps deduce that there's some sort of like green light given.
Okay, so that was really the Gemara's kasha. What the Gemara is saying is that if the person just feels he's not spiritually strong enough to go and they kovish his yetzara, so unfortunately he's going to continue to sin, but at least don't sin in a public manner that everybody should find out about it, and he should become, unfortunately, a symbol of Chil Hashem. At least he goes to a place where nobody hears about it, nobody knows about it, at least it'll be quiet. That happens to be the one second. That's the Pashup Pshat. But there's another Pshat. And the other Pshat is, Rashi brings it, and Tosis brings it, that we are hopeful that if the person has to go all the way with a supersonic jet to Hoydin Anish or Kishkin Halash, so where nobody ever met him and nobody ever knows him, and he has to put on the black clothing and all that and this and that, he'll say, you know what? It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. They have to do something. I'm not true to myself, and all of this tircha, and all of this expense, and all that, and hopefully that in itself will cause his heart to break, and therefore he won't even come on to doing this terrible aveira, because of the fact that he has to go through all of these levels and layers to save himself from Chil Hashem. Hopefully that will save himself from not doing the aveira in the first place. Any further questions on this, Rabbi Sai? No question about it.
I like that one, Shelley.
And not only that, besides the Indian of the green light and the red light, by having to go to these places, it's as if there's a large stop sign. Stop doing these terrible affairs. But
where does Rashi say this?
Mokum Shem Akirin Osef.
Mokum Shem Akirin Osef, which is roughly third down the Rashi's, right? About 10 lines down.
Ain't
Dati Gasa Olov. Maybe that will shvach, that will dilute the koyach of his yetzahara. The kamim yechta in adam leitzalev, and even if chas v'shalom it doesn't work, v'shein echoshem einayim v'chein melvush melvush chayim. So in other words, people are not going to make a tzimmus because they don't know who the guy is. They think he's an araber. They think he's a Christian, a goy, whatever. So nobody looks at him. Nobody cares about him. So at least it won't make a chil Hashem, and hopefully, in fact, it will break his yetzahara totally. And we continue on to the Moriyat Zweite. Dorish of Yehuda Rebbe Nachmei Miturgamonei Dorish Lakish. He was the Miturgamon of Rish Lakish. Kol Mestakel V'Gimel Dvarim Einov Kehois. Person who looks, V'Gimel Mestakel means not just a glimpse, a passing glance, but it means if he focuses and he looks at it. his eyes, his vision becomes weak. The keshes of menasi u bekehan. The keshes chesiv. That's the passage that we quoted a moment ago. Kemari keshes yevon miyarn hageshem. Who married the musk kvoid Hashem? Since the rainbow symbolizes the kvoid Hashem, don't look at it. You can take a glimpse, make a bracha, but that's it. Menasi chesiv is in the passage. Menasi mihoitcha Allah. Now the nasi really means over here the manik of Klal Yisrael. And we're learning from a pasuk by Moshe and Yeshua ben Nun that when Moshe Benu went and initiated, inaugurated Yeshua ben Nun to be his successor, so he gave from his hoy. And the hoy of Moshe Benu was the hoy that he received from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hoy means the majesty and glory and the carne hoy. So all of that was light emanating direct from the Moshe. He's putting that on Yeshua. That's what the Gemara is quoting. It's a little bit difficult, I can understand if the Gemara is saying, don't look at Yeshua, don't look at Moshe Benu. But you know, a modern day Nasi could mean, literally of course means a president. Usually in Talmud Lashon, Nasi means a king. So, you're not supposed to look at a king. So anyway,
people
but,
adulate, you know, out of adulation.
Exactly. So, not exactly.
You need to look at a tzaddik.
Big in you. So, basically, I'm not exactly sure what the Gemara means, but again, don't be mistaken. You can look. It's smart, but don't.
Does a king have a share of the shechina of a malchus?
Correct. And finally,
Moshe Rabbeinu wore a mask.
He wore a mask.
They couldn't look at him, but they could look at him. He was just in the mask. Mm-hmm. He was taking it off to learn. So there's no chazitza.
Yes, that's all wonderful, and I'm in agreement. So if the Gemara would say, if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, then you could get into trouble enough chaos. And that's why you wore the mask, so it shouldn't be chaos. That would work nicely. The Gemara talks generally about don't look at a Nasi, at a king, at the manik of Lufay Yisrael. People want to see the manik, people want to see the leader. Anyway, that's number two. Number three is a Mesakel B'Kahan. It doesn't mean a kohen that was walking down the street, but it means the man Shabbos Midrash Kaim, the Midrash was standing, when they were duchening and they were giving the birchas kehanim to Klal Yisrael, don't look at them. Why? Because if you look at them, chas v'sholom, you're seeing now the shechina emanating from their hands. You're saying the shem hamafayrash, which we are not allowed to say. In other words, when we say yud kei vav kei, we don't go and read it like the koyim say the witnesses, right? But we go and say b'shem adnus. In the Beis Hamikdash, however, it was permissible for them to say the Shema Mafayish, and therefore, if you go and look at the Kohanim at that time, Chas V'Shalom, one's vision can become dull. Tosis says that this applies today, but not for the same reason. Since the Kohanim don't use the Shema Mafayish, and since they're not standing in the Beis Hamikdash, you could theoretically look at their hands, at least you wouldn't have the Ein of Kehois issue. But the issue today, says Tosis, is because of Hesach Hadas. When the Kohanim are benching you, Yivarachcha, Yishmaracha, Yo'er, etc., all of these are wonderful, wonderful blessings, and we should be mechaven at the time of Duchening, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to be Zochet to be the recipient of these tremendous blessings. And if the person is looking at the hands and seeing whether or not there's spots on it, or maybe you're looking at his shoes, is he wearing his shoes, not wearing his shoes, and all the things that cause a person to be Mesiach Das, to be
distracted,
but what do they say? What's the not focused? He says
preoccupied.
Whatever. When any one of those things that he's not focusing on being mechaven at the time of the birchas kahanim, that's the reason why don't look at their hands, don't look at the kahanim, and that's the reason why today, in fact, both the kahanim cover their faces and their hands, and most of the people cover their faces as well. So you shouldn't be mesiach das during the time of the birchas kahanim.
I thought we had learned the main thing was the hands. That's that you should have. Maybe. There wasn't anything other than the hands.
Well, no, the reason why you're saying that is because Tosis quotes from Megillah. If you see the third Tosis from the top of the Omelet, he says, "Mikan kosho pirashashi deparigimel." The Megillah, Allah, did not. It says in the Mishnah over there, "Yodav by hakli ois lo yisakapav." If a person, if a koyin has flecken means spots on his hands. He should not go and be noisy. He shouldn't go and be noisy. He shouldn't do it. Oh, Peter, what did Rashi say? He shouldn't do it. Oh, Mr. Dakle, boy. People say, oh, look at Yanko Smith. Look at his head. It looks so funny. But I mean, Mr. Dakle, Kahanam, Mishosh, and Noisy, and Kapayan, ain't of chaos. So that's what Rashi says back in Megillah. So Toysis says, I disagree with Rashi. Valesa, the Maskin Dafti Machavid is Kayan. That Gemara over there is not talking about the Beis Hamikdash, it's talking about in a regular shul out in everywhere and anywhere, not just after the Beis Midrash. And therefore, Tosis says, near the Farish, go down a couple more lines, the Atigvul and Mitzvah, you're not supposed to look at the Kohen's hands. Mishum Hezachadas, Vachis Vishalmi, that's also the Stak Lakan, Mishosh and Gvokas Om, all because of Hezachadas, the person will not be Mechavin, he will be scatterbrained, he'll be thinking about everything and anything other than the Dukhaning. So, it's almost like by Krishna that you put your hand over your eye. Why do you put your hand over your eye by Krishna? But you should focus, you should be Mechavin in what you're saying. Here too, you should be Mechavin what the Kahanim is saying and the brachas that you're getting. Therefore, you're right not to look at the hands. But the reason why would a person look after the Kahanim's hands? Because the Kohen, as you know, spreads out the fingers in interesting ways. You want to say, oh, does he do a good job? Are the fingers together? Are they different? Oh, look, it's all painted in there. Green spots there.
That's where the bracha probably is emanating from, whatever that means.
As you said, whatever that means. Anyway, continuing on, Zoki Moravait, Dorish Reb Yehuda Rebbe Nachmanim Mitugamadi Dorish Lakish. This is yet a second member from the same individual. Vosatei Gizok, Mike Sivet says the Pasik, Al Taminu Bereya, Al Tiftachu Bi Aluf. Al Taminu Bereya, don't have too much emuna in your friend. Reya, like from Russian, of Reyim Ahuvim. Al Tiftachu Bi Aluf, don't have too much bitachin the Aluf, and like in the generals. So what is this Pasik talking about? Says the Mitugamari Drish Lakish, if the Yetzirah tells you, Chatoin, sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Michael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much Rachmanis, he's such a good God, you don't have to worry about it, you can do at least 12 sins, because when it comes Yom Kippur, Hashem is going to go and be Mechaper and all the Averis, everything's going to be fine. No, Al Tamin, now instead of reading it, Bereya, Al Tamin Bera. So therefore the Yetzer of the Yetzer is Ra, Al Tamim Ra. Don't listen to what the Yetzer says and Kodesh Baruch Hu will forgive him. The Ein Aluf. The end of the passage, Al Tiftach Aluf, Ein Aluf, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shnem Aluf, Nu'urai Ata. Meaning that the Gemara is learning these two parts of the Pasuk together as one. Don't listen to the Ra, the Yetzer Ra, in which he says, Tiftachu Baluf, you can rely on the Alufa Shel Oyvim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's going to be Moichel you. No, don't rely on the Yetzirah, don't rely on Rachmanis, you got to do the mitzvahs, and don't do Aveis. Shem HaTayim, may it be, if I do an Aveir B'Seser, then nobody sees me, who is going to go and be made in front of the Kisei HaKavod after 120 that I did this Aveir or that Aveir? Said the Gemara, four possible Eidim. On the base of the courage, base of Shalom, him and Eidim, by the walls of his house, the bricks and the beams, they're going to go be made. Shinemak, Eben, the Kir Tizak, the Kapistmi, Eitzi, Anena. It's as if the Eben, the stones from the walls, they themselves are going to go and stand up, and they're going to go and say, Aegis, that this person did X, Y, Z. You don't have to come onto the physical world. The neshama knows. The neshama has been soiled by the averis of the guf. Who lies in the bosom of an individual? It's the neshama that lies in every one of us down in Cyrus. Every person who walks and goes, he has malachim that are being malavim, escorting him. So they're there at all times. Those malachim, they're going to testify. And finally, in the side it says, the eivorim of the person's limbs, they're going to be testifying. Here yourselves are going to go and tell us, what did the person do? Beseser, what aveda did. Okay, on to the next mission. Now that we finished the Agadata, we come on to something which is very, very historic. In which respect is this historic? As we know, when you go through Shas, even if you don't go through the whole Shas, you just go through one Umid or one blot of Gemara. Typically, you find on virtually every Umid a Machloikis, whether it's a Machloikis Tanoim, a Machloikis Amayroim. Here, our Mishnah tells us, and Rashi tells us, this was the first Machloikis in Klal Yisrael. See the Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Yisvin Yezer Oimer Shloimis Mech Biyomtiv V'zi Machloikis Rishoina Shehoisa Bechachmi. So this is the first recorded Machloikis that ever occurred among all the Tanaim from all the generations. And the Machloikis is the Gabe Smicha on Yomtiv. Smicha over here is referring to putting your hands on the animal prior to bringing it as a korban. In particular, the Gemara here is focusing on the Shalmei Chagiga. The same thing also applies to Odes Re'iyah, but Odes Re'iyah is already Machloikis, Beisham, Beisil, whether you even bring it on Yom Tov, or you only bring it on Chol HaMoed. But everybody agrees you do bring Shalmei Chagiga on Yom Tov. The question is, can you go and put your hands and do Smicha on the Karbon? The Torah tells us specifically in a number of places, for instance, by a Shalmei Nedava, a Shlomo that you're bringing on your own, no, it's not mandatory, totally voluntary, that you the samach is yod, all of you have to go and do smicha. Question is, what about smicha and a shalmi chagiga on Yom Tov? What's the shaila? What's the problem? So Gemara is going to tell us two possible understandings of the machlokes. We'll wait until we get to Gemara at the bottom of the Amud Beis, exactly what the machlokes is. But what we do find in our Mishnah is that there were five generations, one after the other, after the other, after the other, of great Tanoim, and there was a machlokes in each one of the generations, yes, lismaych, or not lismaych. So Gemara, the Mishnah begins. Yosef ben Yezer, so it says, Yosef ben Yezer, oymeh shaloi lismaych. You bring your carbon shalmi chagig on yondit, don't put your hands on. Yosef ben Yechanan, oymeh lismaych. No, you do put your hands on. You do do smicha. Yishuv ben Parachi, oymeh shaloi lismaych. Nitzar Abeli Oimer Lismaych. You do. Now, who are all of these individuals? We'll see Mechem as soon as we hit the Amud Beis, that at least our Mishnah holds and our Meir holds that the order of the Tanoim in our Mishnah is very precise. And in each case, the first name is the name of the Nasi, like we have Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the person who was the greatest scholar in the generation, who not only was the greatest Talmid Chacham, but also was the leader of Klal Yisrael in many different respects, in other words, in a political sense. So, says our Mishnah, that was the first one, and the second one was the Av Beis Din. L'Havdil is something similar to president and vice president, or the viceroy after the king. You have the king, and then you have the viceroy. Here you have the Nasi, and then you have the Av Beis Din. So Yosef ben Yezer was the Nasi, and he said, Shloi Lismach. Yosef ben Yochanan said, I respectfully disagree. Lismach, he was the Av Beis Din. Yishuv ben Parachi Oimer, Shloi Lismach. Again, he was the Nasi. Nitzar Bevi, the Av Beis Din, Oimer, Lismach. Where we're going to have a problem is here in the third case, and that's Yudim ben Tavi, Oimer, Shloi Lismach, Yishuv ben Chetav, Oimer, Lismach, where again, the Mishnah is going to tell us in the Yom Beis, if Yudim and Tabai was the Nasi, Shimon and Chetach was the Av Beis Din, but we're going to see that there's going to be a contrary view, that the Chachamim are going to reverse it and say Yudim and Tabai was the Av Beis Din, and Shimon and Chetach was the Nasi. Stay tuned for further discussion on the Amud Beis. But notice on all three cases, the first one said Shalai, the second one said, yeah, second again, Yishuv ben Parachi Shalai, and the same thing, Yudim and Tabai said Shalai, and his counterpart said, yes, this way. Now we come to generation number four. Shemaya Oimel Lismach Vatayan Mishloim Lismach. This is the first time that we're switching it around. We're not switching around Nasi and Abez. Shemaya is the Nasi. Avtayan is the Abez. But here we're switching around the Lismach and Shaloi Lismach. Similarly, we get to Hillel Menachem, Loi Nechliku. At the time of Hillel Menachem, there was no Machlokes. Everybody agreed. That's Menachem. Menachem left the scene. Where did Menachem go to? The Gemara will tell us two versions of the story. Nichlu Shammai, and Shammai now came in as his successor. Now, although we start off Shammai Oimer, we know that Hillel was the Nasi. In fact, Hillel was the Zaydi, Hilta Zaydi of the older Gamliel and Rebbe and all of those. If you want to, Darren will tell you more about that after the Shir. And then the Mishnah continues on. So therefore, he was the Nasi, and Shammai had the Madrega of being the Av Beis Din. Shammai Oimer Shaloi Lismach, Hillel Oimer Lismach. Oh, so you see that the last two of the five generations, it was the Nasi said Shaloi Lismach, sorry, the Nasi said Lismach, and the Av Beis Din said Shaloi Lismach. So the first three, the Nasi said Shaloi, Shaloi, Shaloi. The last two, starting with Shemaya and ending up with Hillel, they said yes, Lismach, and it was the Av Beis Din that said otherwise. And the Mishnah is now going to tell us that on the Ovid Aleph, on the Tzari Ovid Beis, Harishoinim HaYunasiim, the first ones that are mentioned in each one of the five generations, they were the Nasi, Yishnim, Lehem, Av Beis Din, and the second one that is quoted was the Av Beis Din, Tanur Rabbanon. The Braisa repeats this again with a little bit More explanation, more expanded. Shkoyach, shloish mizukas are yishoinim she'omru shloi vismoich. Ushnai mizukas are yichachroinim she'omru vismoich. Oh, the first three that we had in the mission that said shloi vismoich. The latter two that was Shemaya and Hillel that said vismoich. All of those were hayon. See, shneim lahem. And those that disagree, those that was bezin dibri bermeh. So Rebbe is consistent with our Mishnah, and the price is expanded a little bit to really put it down in clear-cut language. They said Shalom Lismaych, the first three, and the second, the last, the fourth, and the fifth said Lismaych, but all of them were Nisim. The Chum only disagree on that middle case, and that was Yudim ben Tabai, he says, with the Abezdin, the Shim ben Chetach was the Nasi. So, even though that's a little bit out of order in the way our Mishnah is constructed, presumably the Chacham would say in their Mishnah, they would reverse it. They would have the Shimon ben Chetach as the first one, and then they have Yudim ben Tabai as being the second. Anyway, Mantan Lavan Tana Rabbi, who is the Tana of the following Brisa? And the Brisa tells us of a somewhat tragic story. Omer of Yudim ben Tabai, on the side they take out, Rebbe Omer Yudim ben Tabai, Erev ben Achamim lehegrati, Eid Zayim lehoitz v'limim shal tzadokim shayim, Eimim Eidim Zamin neragan et yehorek ha lida. Yehudim ben Tabai was proud of the fact that he was able to go and give a punch in the nose to the tzadokim. As all of you know from Masechtas Malkis, Masechtas Makis, the halacha is, Eid Zayim is a very, very unique halacha. That we say kasher zoman v'loy kasher osa. What does that mean? You have, and what normally happens? You have, unfortunately, a terrible story. You heard that Reuven, Nebuch, there was the rumor in the media that Reuven killed Shimon. But rumors are rumors. You gotta have Eidim. Oh, so one Eid comes along and says, what do you mean? I was there. It was Monday morning. It was in the Bronx, in a particular bad neighborhood over there. I saw with my own eyes Reuven killing Shimon. And they ask him a whole bunch of questions, and he answers all the questions perfectly, so he seems to be a real bona fide Eid. Based on him and a second individual that also said Eidus, that he saw Reuven killing Shimon, based on this, the Bezdin issues a psak. Reuven has to be killed because he killed somebody else. They're ready to go and take Reuven to the gallows,
the beheading block,
whatever it is. He's ready to go and kill him because he killed Nebuch Shimon. And then two new Edom come on the scene and they say, we don't know who Reuven is, we don't know who Shimon is, but one thing we know, that this aide said that Monday morning he was in the Bronx and he saw this happening at 9 o'clock where Reuven killed Shimon. We were together with that aide that day in California. What were we doing in California? They were making a scene in Mashas and he was there participating with us. So obviously this aide that is saying that I saw Reuven killing Shimon, not true. You have two Edom saying that he was together with them in California. And those Edom are Nemanim, and we've proven they're right. So what do we do now to this bad guy? He's now called an Eid Zomei. What do we do? So the Tzedokim said, what do you mean? Did they hang, so to speak, Reuven yet? No, nothing happened to Reuven. No. If nothing happened to Reuven, don't do anything to this guy. I mean, censure him and condemn him and say he's an aggressor and he's a criminal and he's a bad guy and don't ever listen to him. But for Maisa, nothing happened. However, that's not the halacha. The halacha is kashizom uvesh kashvase. If he wanted to cause that Reuven be killed, then you kill the eid zomein. What would happen if in fact they killed Reuven, and only subsequent to finding, they executed Reuven, I should say, and only after the execution did the new Edom come on the scene and say that this Eid is an Eid Zomein because he was together with us in California, he wasn't in the Bronx, and therefore the whole thing is a bubamasa. In other words, Reuven may have killed Shimon, could very well be, but there's no question that this Eid wasn't there, he is not kosher to go and say he's not a credible witness because he wasn't there. He wasn't in the Bronx, he was in California. So what happens if, in fact, they already killed Reuven, they already executed Reuven? Ed Zayman is not killed. Now we condemn him, we censure him, and he's a bad guy, maybe we put him in Chayram, all wonderful things, and Malamaisa, he doesn't get killed. Now, it may not be logical to our human senses, but that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kasher Zaman, B'vei Kasher Asim. The Tzedokim, however, said, no. Ein Eidim Zomim Nerogim Ad Sheyehoreg HaNidoin. You only kill the Eid Zomim if and when the Nidoin, meaning the person who was being prosecuted, if he was executed, then you go and kill the Ein. Otherwise, you don't kill the Ein. But that wasn't the case over here. The case over here was that the Nidon was not executed, and we saved him in time because the two Eidim Baruch Hashem came from California, and they said that he was not in the Bronx, he was in California that day, and so Baruch Hashem, they didn't kill the Nidon, but we do execute the Ein Zayim. So Yehuda ben Tabai is saying, Ereb ben Achama is a strong Lashon. What it really means to say is, I will see in the Nechama of Yerushalayim, in other words, the Nechama of Klal Yisrael, the Yerushalayim will be built. Well, that sounds very positive. However, the Mefarshim explain, what he's really saying is a euphemism. He's saying, Loi Ereb Nechama, I want to show that what I'm saying is absolutely accurate and correct, and emes v'yatzim v'nochem v'kayim v'yosher, and therefore I'm saying is, I should not be zocha to the Nechama, to the consolation of seeing the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, if I would not have gone and killed the Eid Zoymeim. I specially went and said, yes, this Eid Zoymeim should be killed. Why? Because to go and punch in the nose and the eyes of the Tzedokim and say, you're wrong, we do kill an Eid Zoymeim, even though the Nidoin was not Nerek. Okay, so this seems to be something very dramatic that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai did. It says he went only Shimon Meshetach. Shimon Meshetach, as you recall, was his counterpart in our Mishnah. He said, Ereb ben Achama, just the opposite. What you did was wrong. You were right vis-a-vis the Tzedokim Kasher Zaman, that you were right. However, it was only one aid of the two aidim. In our case, they only said about the first guy that the aid was Imanu Hayisim in California. They didn't say about the second guy. The whole din of Einim Zom is both Eidim or Imanu Hayisim. But if only one of them, then you don't go and do any of these drastic things that we just learned. Ah, so therefore, unfortunately, in the case of Yehuda ben Tabbai, one of the two is an Eid Zom. That's true. But the other one was not. Therefore, Yehuda ben Tabbai should not have killed him, should not have had him executed after all. And Yehuda ben Tabbai was very, very upset about it. He had tremendous remorse and regret. From now on, I will never, ever paskin unless Shem ben Shetach is present, so that I will hear what he has to say, and if I say the wrong thing, he'll be able to correct me and jump on me immediately. I'm going to make sure I'm never going to go and say a dvar aloch unless he is present, so I won't have a problem. We're going to see in a moment why that is a raya, either he's a nasi or a bezin. We're going to get back to that. But in the meantime, the braisa continues, kol yom shel Yehuda ben Tabbai, hoy mishtateach al kibre shel ois harik. All of the remaining life of Yehuda ben Tabbai, kol yom sounds like every day, maybe it was every week, maybe it was twice a week, but for the rest of his life, he would go out to the Beis HaChaim, to that horuk, to the person that he caused execution, for yekoyin nishma, and you can go and hear his call from far away. The question is, whose call? Was the call of the horuk, or was the call of Yehuda ben Tabbai?
Mishtateach is translated as how? Is it like to bow?
No, it's a bow. He needs to
prostrate.
I don't know if he actually went and bowed down on the floor.
Right, on the camera, he
bent over on the cave.
Right, he davened over.
He said till him, and he cried, and he was upset.
Thank you.
No problem. Kiswara Om Loimar, so the Om felt, whose coil must be? Must be the coil of the Horeb down below, who is never crying and saying, you killed me prematurely, and you killed me.
And you buried me in the wrong section of the cemetery.
Exactly. Well, maybe by the time they got to the burial, they knew already.
Okay.
Maybe they disinterred it. The Gemara doesn't go into those details.
They're rugging this rough and rough.
Exactly. Anyway, so the Gemara tells the Shekoli Shel Horeb, they figured it was the Horeb, that he's the one that's crying out and saying, you'd have been Tabbai, what did you do to me? You killed me. I'm an innocent person. May not have been innocent, but at least I didn't deserve to be executed. So Yehuda ben Tabbai said, no. What you're hearing is me crying. I'm the one that's crying, woe, and you hear me, you don't hear him. And now Yehuda ben Tabbai said, Teidu, I'll prove it to you. Shalomachar humes, he's talking about himself, that eventually he, Yehuda ben Tabbai, will pass away. He says lemocher, it doesn't mean necessarily tomorrow, it means eventually. And after that, you'll see you won't hear anything, no more echoes, no more sounds to the Beis HaChaim anymore. See, that at least proved positive that it was me. It could very well be that the koil that we hear nowadays is from the Horug. Why won't we hear it after Yudim and Tavi passes away? It's because maybe up in Shemayim they finally met after all the
work.
They worked it out. He appeased them. Or Medina Tiboy Menei, maybe in fact there was some sort of Bez and Shomala and they worked it out over there. How should Yudim and Tavi be punished for what he did, etc.? And therefore, compensated, whatever it was. But that's the reason why you don't no longer hear the koil. So therefore, you have no raya that it was Yehud ben Tabai's koil. It might have been the one of the Horug. And the Gemara leaves this without a response to this challenge. So we don't really know what it means. Presumably, we believe Yehud ben Tabai that it was his koil. It just means to say...
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary that there would be any doubt on it. I mean, here you have a supernatural voice, supposedly, mm-hmm. and a person saying, "No, it's my voice." He's made on his that he himself is the.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why don't they believe him? It's astounding to me.
I wouldn't say that they didn't believe him. They're just saying that the conclusive proof that he is bringing, you'll see after Mayav Esrim,
right.
It's not a conclusive
right.
proof. I give Yehuda ben Tabai the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I mean, he's a kosher. He's a kosher. I mean, he's
obviously either nosy or that.
That's right. So you can't get better credit worthy than that.
He had the highest credential, no yeah. question about it. Well, what do you mean to say the lie that he brought is
so it's the argument they're attacking, not his actual,
not his integrity, right, not his credibility.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So, Kimar. Is Manihas. So now that we finished this fascinating and tragic brisa, we want to get back to the history. And what's the history over here? Who was the Av Bezdin? Who was the Nasi? So you remember in our Mishnah we watched Yehudim and Tabai as the first in his generation. So he must have been the Nasi. That's what Rameir said. And therefore Shimon Shetach was the Av Bezdin. But the Chum that we quote in the Gemara said, no, it's the other way around. That in fact Yehudim and Tabai was the Av Bezdin, Shimon Shetach was the Nasi. So now, Man Tan al Hadatan Rabbanan, who's the Tan of this brisa? The Gemara, Man. Mani Ha. If you're going to tell me this brisa was taught by Rav Meir, the Amish Mishetach was the Abbas. And Yehudim Tabai was the Nasi, like we learned in our Mishnah. That's why, even though Shimon Mishetach was alive, but Shimon Mishetach was only the Abbas. Yehudim Tabai was the Nasi. So as Nasi, he's allowed to go and pronounce the halacha at any time, in any place, and anywhere. Whether Shimon Mishetach was there, whether he's not there. I'm the Nazi. He can do whatever he wants. He's not the president. He's the highest poisikadar. So I understand how this transpired. Eliyahu's Rabbanan, the Amba Yudah ben Tabi was only the Abbez. And Shimon Mishetach was a Nazi. Abbez is a Nazi. Mimoir halacha. How could he even have opened up his mouth and said, let's execute that person? Does he have the highest authority? After all, there's a higher authority. That's the Nazi. Shouldn't we have asked the Nazi before we execute people? Well, what's going on over here? So the Choyra, a clear raya that we're talking about Loit Rameir, that Yudim and Tabai had the ultimate authority in terms of the rabbinical authority to execute because he was the Nazi, and that's why he did it. Mashiach, according to the Rabbanon L'Choyra, he wouldn't have had that authority. He would have had to ask Rav Shimon Shetach. So I have a Raya L'Choyra, this Brice, that goes according to Rav Meir in our Mishnah, and not like the Chacham, to Malay. Mike, you will love the Ka'omar, it's terrific. What the Ma'amar means to say is the following. That this story happened when Yehudim ben Tabai was alone. It could be that the Mishnah goes even according to Rabbanon. Shimon Shetach was away on vacation, or he was not well, he was at home, or whatever it was. He was not there in the best in that day. So it's just like Lahavdul, when the president is incapacitated, not available, or whatever, then the vice president is able to go and he has the authority to do the president's position and the authorities and the dictates and orders, and he has the full. Right? See, here too, Shimon Shetach was away. Could be, like the Rabban. Shimon Shetach was the Nasi. He was not available that day for whatever. Yehudim ben Tabai was in charge. Yehudim ben Tabai said, Rabbi, the Psak is, and they executed this individual. Now, if that's the case, what is it saying that from Mikan Alaba, Mikan Be'elach, Kibel Olav, he's not going to go and pass him without Shimon Shetach? He doesn't have the authority. Shimon Shetach is the Nasi, and Yehudim ben Tabai is only the Abbezin. So what is he saying? From now on, I'm never going to pass him unless Shimon Shetach is around. Anyway, you shouldn't paskin if Shimon Shetach is around because he's the Nasi. You're the only Abbez. What does that mean? Says Rashi that if are those types of dintoiris that are going to require a bezin of three, or in the case of Chas V'Shalom, the nefash is going to eat 21. He's saying, I'm only going to sit on the bezin to make sure that Shin B'Shetach is together with me. Not only that I'm not going to paskin on my own, I'm not going to even paskin together with other dayanim unless Shin B'Shetach is one of the co-dayanim or the head of the bezin that I'm going to sit on together. See Rashi that a third down the other way, Sarifna, Leishim Din, and the Barishim. Make sure that Shin B'Shetach happens to be there together with me on the bezin, otherwise I'm not going to open my mouth. That's what Rashi is. Toys is a little bit differently. Toys is parallel to where we are in the Gemara. Limit Sarifna. Limtois achre rabim kide levato divri shim and chetah. What happens if we taka on a bezin? And the bezin is a bezin of 3. Or the bezin is a bezin of 21. And I see that
23,
23, 71, whatever. And I see that, Baruch Hashem, that there's a strong majority against Shim Ben Chetach. I'm never going to go and join the Roif. I will always be Shim Ben Chetach's side, because I see what a God, what a person, what a great person he is.
Yeah. And how can that be? Because yeah, you know, the young adult, we start with
the smallest of the on the Bezdin. Rav said, right. And not just that, I mean, he's basically abdicating his judicial authority.
So you don't like Toys, you like that?
You're saying, I'm not going to... basically, I'm going to defer to his authority. So what value do you have as a dayan on the... every dayan has to have his own sovereign and independent thoughts, especially in Dinei Nefashos.
There's no question about it. So what happens if a dayan who listens to both arguments, and he says what this Rabbi Smith is saying, makes 100% sense. What Rabbi Jones is saying is 100% sense. Now, if you're just based on my own seichel, none of this was previously codified in Shulchan Aruch or in the Rambam or in Chubis Rabbi Kiva Eger or Chubis Meir of Yehuda. So everybody's trying to use their own shikul hadas. Right. So my shikul hadas would say, maybe I agree with Rabbi Smith and not with Rabbi Jones, but I see that Shimon Shetach is with Rabbi Jones. I'm a vachodati. I'm going to go with Shimon Shetach because his seichel is so much greater and so much more, and he's so much more learned and so much more wise.
It feels very, very wrong that they're endorsing a abdication of judicial sovereignty and it's something about this strikes me as very, very.
Are you happy with Rashi?
I'm always happy with Rashi.
Okay, so good. So Rashi, but this chapter, okay. Chapter, and we go back. Yes, Mandy.
Rav Shimon Shetach, he ruled previously on this halacha.
Uh-huh.
Now, Bezin has another entire using this previous halacha. Now he should not embattle his words.
Okay.
Not just
judicial precedent.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Case law. Okay.
Who's Pshat is that?
That's many parts. And in fact, Yotze Menachem just came out with this.
Menichnas. Go ahead.
And it went into all of our minds. It's a beautiful Pshat. So you want to write, we said the Mishnah that was originally Hillel and Menachem, and then Menachem left the scene. Now, where do you go? This is a Peledikim mark. Abaye Omer Yosef Tarbesra. The great Menachem, who was the counterpart of Hillel, he was the Arbezin, Nebuch, Fakroch. Nebuch. Okay, you'll see the Gemara, Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi Omer Yosef Lavoy Yisamach. Although there's not a machloik in halacha, but usually Abaye for Rabbi, we follow Rabbi. So that's an easier pshat. Yosef Lavoy Yisamach means that Menachem was considered to be such a wise individual.
He was conscripted to diplomatic service.
Exactly, diplomatic service, to be a minister in the cabinet, or whatever, and therefore he left, if you will, the learning in the Besmedish and in the judicial
like
system.
Like Mordechai Balshan.
And not only did Menachem leave on his own, he also imay shmoinim zugois 80 pairs of talmidim levushin tzrikar, which in tzrikar says Rashi they're wearing like royal garb, and so therefore they all joined the royalty
service,
and they went to the palace of the king, and they were all helping out over there and presumably advising the king of how to run the country and everything else. You can put two dots over here because now we're going back to our Mishnah. We said that the first machloikis was about yes micha, no smicha. And we said in the Mishnah, we're going to see in the Gemara what the machloikis is all about. When you find a shvus, shvus means a gzeira or din dirabonon. Don't let it be kala, meaning it's only drabonon. Shari smicha, ein ala mishim shvus. Smicha, the whole issue that we're talking about is Shavuos, a drabanan. The Nechlik of Bagudeli Adorim, 5 generations they were arguing back and forth. First Machloikis in Klal Yisrael. Now what is the Shavuos that we're talking about? Shavuos that we're talking about is that midrabanan, you're not allowed to go and be Mishtamesh Bebalei Chayim. on Shabbos or on Yontif. Mishtamish Baal Chaim needs to go and use the animals. Not that the animals can't go and graze out in the field.
So you mean Muktzah?
It's, well, Muktzah is a colloquial term that people use when they want to say anything which is prohibited. For instance, a person is eating a cheeseburger that we spoke about before. People say it's treif. Not necessarily it was treif. It could be that the cheese was absolutely kosher, the beautiful kosher. Chol of Yisrael. And the meat could have been for the highest, the glad kosher. So it's not treif. But you're not going to eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because it's basar mechol. Same thing is, you go, a person who goes and eats in China a chocolate covered cockroach. How can you eat it? That's treif. It's not treif. They didn't find any problems with the lungs of that cockroach, or they didn't find any piercing of the stomach or anything like that. It wasn't treif. You now eat it. So we use this as a Yiddish expression. Anything you now eat, you call treif. So many people say, how can you do that? Shabbos mukzah. No, I'm not forgetting it's mukzah. Mukzah means yeah. So here, the reason why you're not allowed to go and put your hands and put weight on the animal is because you're not being mishtamish bal chayim. The obvious example of not being mishtamish bal chayim, you're not allowed to go and ride on an animal on Shabbos. Why can't you ride an animal? I didn't do anything. The animal's walking anyway. I'm a fly compared to this animal. He doesn't even feel me. He goes, what's the problem?
Vias, right? Not an animal on the sus. Mayor's walking next to him.
So what's the reason why you're not allowed to? Back in the Sefer Shabbos, we learned because what happens if you want to goad and prod the animal, you go a little bit more quickly. You go to the right, you go to the left.
You grab a branch.
You might grab a branch from the tree and rip it off. So that's all midrabanan. Not only midrabanan, but it's midrabanan. So people say, come on, it's rabbanan, So the problem here with the smicha is, you're ultimately mishtamish bal chayim. The Gemara is going to tell us in a moment that smicha b'chol kocho be'inan means you don't just put your hands on like ceremoniously. You got to put your whole weight on it. So the animal should feel what's going on. And the animal, in a sense, is holding you up. Because since you're leaning over and you're bending over and you're putting your weight on it, if the animal would move, presumably it'd fall to the ground. So therefore you're being mishtamish, you're using this bal chayim. That being the case...
It says that in the Kiddush, right?
Wait a minute.
We have in the Kiddush, Bam, Tefa, Sherpa, Sharecha, we're not allowed to use.
Good. But that, what you're saying is correct, but Pashit, that pasuk that you're quoting, the Hemtachash B'Sharecha, that's a pasuk from the Aseres HaDibrit, is referring to real work of your animal.
Wow.
And now you have your animal plow the field, for instance. That would be a deraisa. Here we're talking about that you put your weight on the animal, and therefore that's not only drabana, but it's drabana, because you're not going to be mishtamish balechayim, because of the example you heard before from Barry, it might break off a branch. So therefore...
Why isn't riding the horse enough? Just riding the horse was as you're using the animal.
Your weight is on the animal. Your weight is on the animal.
The riding is not the problem, it's you're putting the weight on the animal. Which is saying, why would the chacham just go there on a person riding as opposed to a person just using the animal? So the presumption is they probably felt once you allow a person to go and put your weight on the animal, then the next step will be that he's going to climb up it and he's going to start riding. So therefore it was necessary for them to make. Yeah, exactly. Maybe you don't like where the animal is standing. You want to park the animal across the street. And therefore you're pushing the animal, no guy shine the behaima, and the behaima is a behaima and doesn't want to move. So you might go and And therefore you might want to prod it or goad it by again pulling off the branch even without riding on it, just to, you know, to move it. Regardless.
But my child is, why isn't the riding midaraisa?
It says
we have to make the additional rabbanan, together that you're not gonna hit the
Jeff, where have you been for the last 5-7 years?
It's a good question. If it's a horse, riding on a horse is how you do a avodah with a horse.
It's a great question. And the answer is because the only avodas which are prohibited min haTorah are those which the Chachamim felt fit within the lamed tes melachos. The lamed tes melachos include, for instance, choresh, plowing. An animal that plows, that's prohibited. An animal that's walking around and people riding on the animal, that is not within the 39 categories of melacha which are prohibited on Shabbos or on Yom.
So it's work with a small W
instead of a capital. They work with the capital W, the rabbanan is with a small W. Good. Anyway, getting back to Agumar. So now we have all these great sages of the first 5 generations arguing, are you allowed to go and put your hands on and put your weight on the animal? You're not allowed to. This is only drabbanan. No, it's not only Drabanan. It's Aser Midrabanan. And that's why, don't let a Shvus be Kalabay Nech. Shresmicha Ein Elam Mishim Shvus, Menachlik Ubaba, Gedoy Liyadar. So Gemara, Pshita, Zichadava Pashit. In other words, what did Rabbi Yochanan add? I see in our Mishnah that that's the machloikis. So, all he's trying to emphasize and make it a little bit more graphic and say, oh, you see, it's a shvuz, and then they made a machloikis. I see, anybody that learns the Mishnah, I see that they're arguing about a shvuz. Every Gemara, shvuz mitzvitz trichalei. He wants to emphasize the fact that here the shvuz is being, you're violating the shvuz of being mishtamish with Bali Chayim, but you're doing a mitzvah at the same time. What's the mitzvah? Doing smicha on the animal. So I would have thought that that inyan of smicha, that would certainly outweigh. Especially with a lo sase is a drabanan.
Right.
I would say for sure, forget about the drabanan, do the mitzvah smicha. Therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to emphasize. But we see it in the Mishnah. Is Rabbi Yochanan trying to be like a Rashi in the Mishnah, trying to explain what the Mishnah says? The Mishnah is very clear. Five generations argued you're allowed to do the smicha, and what would be the reason for the machloikas l'choyer? It's because you're being mishtamish in Bali Chaim, and you're doing l'shem mitzvah. So I see this already. What's the chiddush? There's a second pshat. The machloikis has nothing to do with the din of mishtamish in Bali Chaim. The machloikis is a diraisa machloikis, not a dirabanan machloikis. What's the machloikis? The machloikis is, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to do smicha on a korban shalmei chagiga. You only find it by shalmei nidova. You want to be nice, you want to bring a voluntary karm shlamim, gizumte, says the Torah, but the samach, you got to go and do smicha. And therefore, we assumed until this point that just like by shalmei nedavi you have to do smicha, that by shalmei choyvi you also have to do smicha. And therefore, the machloikis in our Mishnah is, okay, you take a machloikis to do smicha, but should you do the smicha on Yom Tov, you have a problem being mishtamish with Bali Chayim? Says Imar, no, according to that other man, the Omar, it has nothing to do with Mishnah. The machloikis is there a chiyuv to do smicha on a balchai or not? Having nothing to do with yontif. Even if you were bring friends and during cholamoid, you're bringing these shalmei chagiga, as we had many times in our mesechta, that if you didn't have a chance to bring the shalmei chagiga on day one, you can go and bring it the full 7 or 8 days, if it's friends in Shmini Atzeres, if it's Sukkot, you can go and continue doing the smicha. You can continue bring the shalmei chagiga. So if you're bringing shalmei chagiga on Chol HaMoed, we would all say, wouldn't everybody in the Mishnah agree, lismoich, according to the second shot? No! The ones that said shalmei lismoich are saying, there is no chiyuv. They're not saying that it's awesome. They're just saying, shalai this much, there is no chiv to go and be soimeh. How come, what do you mean there's no chiv? It says, beferish the time. Well, it says, by the dava, it doesn't say, by choiva. Kamash malon. That's why Rabbi Yochanan comes to say, no, everybody agrees that you have a chiv to do smicha by shalmei choiva. And therefore, cholamoid, everybody would agree to a smicha. It's b'shvus on the b'li, the machlok is only the gabe, b'shvus, the dirabban. From this, we see clearly that smicha requires all of your strength. In other words, you put all your weight on it. All you have to do is just put on your hands in a form of a ceremonious type of thing, but you don't really do a full foot. So, my covet. So, what's the problem? Listen, the whole problem with mishtamish balechayim is that you're leaning on the animal, you're putting your weight on the animal. If you just go and put your hands on the animal, so what's this? It's like patting a dog. Well, what did you do? You didn't do anything. There's no mishtamish balechayim. It's a chesimin you have to do bechol kaychay. Frank Dimon Meisvei, Davon Yisrael says in the Pasuk, and it says, V'samach. It doesn't say in the same Pasuk, it's a few psukim later, that what? This is where you go and bring your carbon, and then among other things, V'samach, you gotta go and put your hands on the animal. Darshan the Gemara says, it says, B'nai Yisrael, Saim Chumayim, B'nai Yisrael, Saim Chumayim, this is only a din for menfolk, and not for ladies. If the ladies are bringing a carbon, no din of smich. Rabbi Yosi v'hirtzit Rabbi Shmuel, on the side it says Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, B'nai Yisrael, Saim Chumayim. Now, if they want to, it's not required, but if they want to, Gizintai, they can put their hats on. Rabbi Yosi, who just said now, they can. Sochli Abba Lozer. Abba Lozer one time told me, Pam Achas Hayulano Egel Shal Zivchi Shlomim, Vedinu Le Ezra As Noshim. A lady was bringing an Egel meaning a calf, for a shlamim. We brought it to the Ezra Nashim where the ladies were standing. The Samchal of Nashim, and the women put their hands on the egel. Apparently they were shutfim or shutfos, and they put their hands on the egel. Not because it's required. We want the women to feel special and feel good about themselves. It's almost like today, women have no chiyuv to go in shakalulav and esrig, but women feel very good about going in shakalulav and esrig. Women don't have to sit in the sukkah, but they feel very good about being mekayim the mitzvah. So we want to go and encourage women to have the chavivas ha-mitzvah and to feel good. So not that it's required, it's a rishus. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying, benois Yisrael, rishus. Zoktimar. If you're going to learn like the Imari said until now, you have to put all your weight on. According to what Rabbi Yochanan learned, which the Imari assumes is the way you're really supposed to understand the Mishnah, then the machlokes is whether or not you are being oiver because of the din of Shavuos. And yes, Shavuos Nishvah, Shavuos the Mitzvah, like we learned until now. If we're talking about that this is a real b'chol kolcha, and therefore you have a real commission of an Isser D'Rabbanon, because we want the women to feel good about themselves, we allow them to go and be Oiver and Isser of Mishtamish and Balei Chaim on Yontif. And in fact, you don't need to do it. And that's why we allow the women to go and put their hands on, you know. So what happened? You know, anyway, the point is, Zok Yimura, what's the rai from that? In the Chayr, you have a rai that it's, you don't need Kol Kaichet. Every Malay Lema Lach, but you need Kol Kaichet. You do need Kol Kaichet. The Om Lahu, Akfi Yadaycho. Akfi Yadaycho means that we tell the women in advance, before they put their hands on the carbon, only put your hands, the word Akfu is like a lotion of swimming or floating. Have your hands float on top of the animal. Don't put any pressure. Yeah, you can put it. You can put your hands on, but don't lean. No pressure, and therefore you don't have the problem. So the emissary you need b'chol koychoi. However, when we allow the women to do it, we tell them just put your hands lightly, not in a heavy leaning fashion. What's now the raya of Reb Yossi that smicha benoshim is a rishos? And he says Abba Loza told me that we allowed women to do it. It's not because smicha noshim is rishos. They didn't do anything. It's like having a chas v'shalom goy come in and touch the animal. You touched it, you patted it, you didn't do anything. It was goodish. Mm-hmm. So it's not because it was not wasn't meaningful in a religious sense. Really, Abba Lozer, who told the story to Rabbi Yossi, he left out part of the story. It's really two things. The emes and the truth of the matter is that when you go and put your hands in such a light form, it's really not bona fide smicha, so it's not a problem. Why did we do it? I mean, what are we wasting time for? Can the nashim, that the nashim should feel good that they also participate in the bringing of the carbon. They can't shach the carbon. They can't do this rikas adam. But at least they can do as a ceremonious smicha, so they feel very good about themselves that they also participated in the smicha, if you will, in the carbon. Amra Papa, Papa says from this whole discussion, Shabaminat Sidon Masur, you see from this that the sides of the animal are also asur. In other words, the main isur of b'chol koychi is on the back of the animal, meaning the top part of the animal where a person would ride or sit and put the burden on, if you put a pekel on, that's on the top of the animal. But we see from this Gemara that Sidon on the side of the animal is also asur. These are the nights that Sidon and Matur. If you can tell me that Sidon and Matur, now our Gemara says Lismach Litzidon, but the Bach changes the gear, sir. Lismoich aroisha, go and do the smicha on the head. What does he mean, do the smicha on the head? So apparently, the smicha of Chol Koychi meant that you put it on the main trunk of the animal, after the neck of the animal ends, from there till the tail, that's where you go and put your weight and you do the smicha there. And therefore the Gemara says, if you hold tzedonim mutar, and the Gemara assumes that head is just like the tzedonim, because it's not the main trunk of the animal, it's just at the top of the animal, just like the sides of the animal. So Ibazoi, why don't you go and say, do smicha for the noshim on the side or on the head of the animal, and then you wouldn't have the whole issue over here, because it's not bonafide, being mishtamish mabalei chayim, is a chasim, in that even you put your hands on the side or on the head, that's also mishtamish mabalei chayim. That's also asur. What Rashi is saying is, you have equated head with sides. You shouldn't really equate the two. You know why you shouldn't equate the two? Because the head of the animal is an extension of the back of the animal. Anything which is on the same level as the trunk, the main body of the animal, is like the animal itself. As opposed to the sides, that may have a different halach. So Rashi says, don't bring me a raya that tzedodim are mutter. It could be tzedodim. Sorry, don't bring me a raya that tzedodim are also. It could be tzedodim are mutter. The reason why they said on top of the head is because the head is considered to be like the animal itself, and not considered to be just like the tzad. Look at the top. Rashi, the bahari gavosh is shovel the goyva gavshalayim. The head is like an extension. It's on the same level as the back of the animal. Therefore, it is also, but it could be the wood, the mutter,
but not the head, which is equivalent to the actual animal itself.
Exactly.
That I usually thought was smicha. I thought you do it on the head.
Me too. Yeah.
I have an aside.
What? An aside. Yes.
The prophet to your children.
Yes.
And the animal should not be considered like a child.
No, chas v'shalom. We agree with you. That was very well thought out. You're using your head today, Shelly. Shkarek.
Okay.
Jeff, great to see you. David, great to see you. We're having a special session, Nitzshem, tomorrow night, Matzah Shabbos, at 10 o'clock on tomorrow's
Daf. Unless you want to do it Sunday morning. I mean,
no. Okay. And the reason why we're doing it tomorrow night is because tomorrow we're missing a blot from last Machzer of 7.5 years ago. Perhaps it fell out on Shabbos or on Yontif. Perhaps somebody was away, whatever. That's why we're going to tape it in Yerushim tomorrow night for posterity, so we have it for future generations. So you're all cordially invited at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Baruch Hatzlocha, have a good Shabbos, everybody. Great to see all of you.
Good Shabbos.
Call to be well.
Good everybody.
Good Shabbos to all of you. Be well.
Love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. Mutual. Okay. Baruch Hashem.
I need a jet lag. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, you
with Yosef Landau, I got in the habit of a more interactive.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I'm not.
Let me ask you, how did it go?